What's up, everyone, and welcome back to another episode of the UConn Hockey Podcast. My name is Matthew, and I'll be your host today, along with my friend Chris. And on today's episode, we recap the last three games of the UConn men's hockey season as they got swept by Boston College, but then responded with a 6-1 victory over Dartmouth. We also talk about the UConn women's hockey team's recent performance of the Nutmeg Classic as they lost to Quinnipiac in the semifinals. However, before we get to all of that, make sure to follow us on social media at UConn Hockey Pod on Instagram and Twitter for updates on this podcast and all things UConn hockey. Make sure to subscribe to this podcast and leave a rating review on Apple Podcast and follow us on Spotify as well. Doing all these things helps the podcast grow, helps new people find us, and I'll truly appreciate it if you did those things. Now, without further ado, here's today's episode. I hope you guys enjoy. Well, hopefully whoever is listening to this right now, I hope you guys had a fantastic Thanksgiving with your friends and family. And we have some UConn hockey to talk about. Chris, thank you so much for joining me on today's episode.
Thanks, Matt. Happy Thanksgiving to you.
Happy Thanksgiving to you as well, Chris. Now, let's start off by talking about the latest game against Dartmouth. And I don't want to be a Debbie Downer, Chris, but you have to sort of take this game with a grain of salt. Dartmouth's backup goalie was playing his very first college hockey game, and despite their pairwise record heading into that game at 17th and being second in the ACAC, I felt like Dartmouth was sort of an inferior opponent to UConn, and UConn proved that with a 6-1 shellacking of them. It was just a good feel-good performance, though, for everybody. The only thing that sucked about the game was Hader didn't get the shutout. But UConn needed a performance like that just for everyone to feel good and for everyone to pretty much dominate in that game. And just a game where it was good start to finish.
Yeah, I mean, I think you needed a game like that after, you know, the way the first half of the season has gone. Just good to play that kind of game. And yeah, I mean, I think obviously Dartmouth was an inferior opponent. But you know what? Sometimes you got to play those games and you got to win them still. So it was good on them. They had a good game. I think they played well, and hopefully they can take something from that as they, you know, sort of end off the first half of the season here and maybe build upon that going into the second half of the season.
Well, based on how the season has gone, UConn has lost to inferior opponents, so it's still good to see them get that win because, unfortunately, the way the season has gone, they've lost some of those games this year. One thing I did want to talk about from this game was Ryan Tattle getting his first collegiate goal a year after his mom passed away. I just thought that was a really nice tribute. That his celebration was a nice tribute to his mother, and it was good to see that the fans got behind him with a loud ovation after they announced it was his first collegiate goal. I just thought I'd point that out because I just thought that was a really cool story, and it just shows you how important sports are and how sports does bring the good into a lot of things in this world, even when there's a lot of bad things, I guess is the best way I can articulate that.
I just think it was a really nice moment. It was a great goal, you know, slapped it from the, you know, from the circle there and got the, you know, got it past the goalie. So just a great goal and a really great moment and something that, you know, obviously just a really nice moment for him and I think his family.
Now let's transition and talk about the BC series, which I think is the series that we're going to take a lot away from. Unfortunately, UConn lost this series, losing in overtime the first game at the Heights 5-4. And then getting shut out 3-0 at Toscano the following day. Chris, what was just your overall thoughts on the series? Because despite losing 5 out of 6 points, I actually thought UConn played pretty well in this series, especially after their horrible first period on that Friday night game. But this has sort of been the story of the season. Yes, they've played well, but they can't find a way to get the job done against teams that they have to beat in order to, you know, get in a good pairwise spot and then obviously try to rise up in the hockey standings.
Yeah, I think, you know, that first game, that first period, you know, they were down 3-1, and I think your feeling was, boy, this is going to be a long night. And then they come back and play their, what in my mind was their best period all year. That second period was fantastic. And I think they carried it over mostly into the third period. I thought they played a really good third period. And obviously, you know, the game went to overtime and they lost there with a couple of seconds left. But in my mind, they, you know, that was their best game that they played all season. And I think, you know, they played a really good game on Saturday as well, you know, a tough game. I think, you know, the problem is that, you know, eventually, in my mind, you know, the more talented team won out in the end. You know, you look at who scored the goals for BC, you know, Cutter Gauthier, I think, had a couple of goals both on Friday and Saturday night. And I think, you know, they're just, they're good players, showed up and played well. And, that was the difference. I don't think it was a question of effort, definitely, for both nights. It just was a question of, BC having a couple of, pretty talented players who showed up and scored key goals when they needed to.
Yeah, and UConn had some unfortunate turnovers in that second game as well, especially for the first goal scored by Will Smith, where Flynn, I think, tried to dump the puck into the zone, and then it hit off one of the BC skaters, and it created a 2-on-0. And it's just stuff like that that the other opponents seem to capitalize on, and whenever UConn gets those opportunities, sometimes they don't. And they seem to be sort of snake-bitten in that series, especially in the second game. And you got to give kudos to Jacob Fowler, because he didn't have a good game on Friday night, but he bounced back and had a pretty solid performance on the Saturday game, getting his first ever shutout in his collegiate career.
Yeah, I think so. That's, and UConn had a couple of breakaways in both games, and they just weren't able to capitalize on it. And that really comes down to, you have to make the most out of your opportunities, particularly when you're playing a team like BC. When you miss those opportunities, it really puts you in a difficult situation, because more likely than not, the team like BC won't miss on its opportunities. So, yeah, it was unfortunate, some bad, puck luck, some difficult plays there. But, eventually, in my mind, the more talented team, like I said, their players, their better players made some key scoring chances, and UConn just wasn't able to sort of put themselves, over the top in both of those games.
Now, the biggest storyline coming out from the last three games is that UConn has pretty much decided what it feels like that Ethan Hayter will be their go-to guy throughout the rest of the season. Obviously, Arseny Sergeyev really struggled against Merrimack a couple weeks ago, and he also struggled against Vermont as well. And Hayter's played the last three games, and I suspect he's going to probably start the majority of games throughout the rest of the season. Just what's your thoughts on that? Because I know we talked about it last time on the podcast, and I know I said I thought he was going to start both games against BC, but then maybe you'll see Arseny against Dartmouth to try to get his confidence back up, because I do think that's important in case something does happen to Hayter. But unfortunately, Cav decided to go with Hayter throughout both games, and you said that they're still going to split, and obviously that didn't happen.
Yeah, so when Hayter played both games against BC, I thought that was interesting. I thought certainly the coach is trying to either send a message or do something to shake the team up. Again, in my opinion, it feels like that the team has played better in front of Hayter than they have in front of Sergeyev. I don't blame Sergeyev for that. I just think for whatever reason the team has played better with Hayter in goal. And so the fact that they've gone with Hayter three times now, I would suspect that he will be their goalie that they'll play pretty much throughout the rest of the season, and that Sergeyev may get one or two starts here at some point, either in rest of Hayter or something along those lines, or if Hayter doesn't play well. But in my mind, he's played very well. I mean, I think he gave up, I think there were probably one, maybe two goals in that Friday game that I think he probably wish he had back. But for the most part, I thought he played well. And I thought he played really well on the Saturday, game, keeping him in it. UConn just wasn't able to score. So it seems like they've made the decision that he's going to be the goalie that they're going to ride with here throughout the season. And I think, obviously, that happened a lot sooner than we thought. I mean, we thought at some point that he would have to make a decision on who to go with, but I think the way this season has panned out, he's made that decision much earlier, and we'll see if it pays dividends for him.
Yeah, one thing I didn't like last year was how Cav really couldn't figure out a starter. I know both the guys last year played well, but I also feel like one guy really couldn't take the reins, and it seems like Hayter has done that this year. And I think that's good. It's don't worry about the future seasons. Pick the guy that you think is going to help your team win. And clearly Cav thinks that's Hayter. And I think I respect that decision, because at least they're going with a guy that they trust. And it's not like, oh, we should just do the platoon just because it's better for both guys, because we don't want either guy to transfer, if that makes sense. Kind of, I feel like, I know Kevin mentioned that when we've had him on the podcast last few weeks, and I sort of agree with him on it. And I'm just happy that Cav has picked a guy that he thinks is best. And we'll see if Hayter can stick with it. I think he can. I think he's played really well. I know he was fighting the puck a little bit in that first period against BC, but since then, I think he's been really good. Only given up, I'm trying to think, three goals, I think, since that first period. So he's been pretty well, three or four goals, which is pretty impressive, I would say. And I've liked his performance so far. So we'll see if he can keep it going against UMass Lowell and Maine this weekend.
Yeah, I agree. I mean, that's, you know, they've made the decision, and you know, we'll see if there's some other changes, but certainly that was the biggest one I think they've made this season, is that he just felt like, you know, for whatever reason, Sergeyev just wasn't playing as well as he could. Obviously, you know, the team didn't play well in front of him for large portions of time, but, you know, they seem to be playing better in front of Hader. So, you know, I think that's obviously the way they're gonna roll here.
Yeah, definitely. They've been playing much better the last three games. I guess the one thing we do want to mention is, I think the one thing that frustrated me about the BC series was they took a lot of penalties, and I felt like that affected them a lot because they were killing a lot, especially on Saturday. I think that's one of the reasons why they lost, especially in the third period, because I think they took two. I'm not sure. I got to look this up probably before the pod, but that's something I think they got to work on. And I don't know if you sort of feel the same way, because it's something that's been frustrating me, and I feel like it's having a negative effect on them this season. And obviously the power play needs to improve and all that stuff, because I feel like sometimes the offense can get stale. But I think you saw the talent that they had against Dartmouth, and I think if they can figure out some more creativity, they can start scoring more goals. And then I think it's just staying out of the box, because I think for the most part they did that pretty well against Dartmouth, and it led to success. I know it's Dartmouth, but I feel like there's small things you can take away from that game. And then when you look at the BC game, or the BC series, you could see that difference and what they can do with that difference, I guess, to make improvements for the future.
Yeah, I mean, you look at it, they've only scored 7 power play goals this season. That, you know, ties them for second to last with UMass Lowell, Vermont only being worse with 3 power play goals. So certainly they need to be better on the power play. And to your point, they need to stay out of the penalty box. If you're not going to score a lot of goals, or if you're a team that can't score a lot of goals, you can't be spending a lot of time in the penalty box, because you can't give teams chance to score when you're having difficulty score as well. And so I agree with you. They need to be a lot better in sort of staying out of the penalty box, not making bad decisions, and not getting themselves, you know, sort of behind here. And the other thing I'd love to see them do, they need to do it, and they did it in the Dartmouth game, but, you know, scored a first goal, get ahead of a team, you know, make another team sort of chase you instead of you chasing them. That feels like that's happened just too much this year, where they've been chasing teams, and I just feel like at some point you're exerting a lot of effort to do that, and by the time you get towards the end of the game, you just don't have enough left to sort of finish. So I think getting ahead of teams is going to be a key thing for them, you know, during the second half of the season.
And, well, it's hard to believe that the first half of the season is coming to a close, as they play UMass Lowell on Friday and then end off the first half of the season on the road against Maine on Sunday afternoon. Just a little preview on both teams. UMass Lowell, they've been struggling. Last weekend they lost to Army and Bentley. And this is an important game for UConn to win, because I felt like they were the much better team against UMass Lowell last time they played, losing 1-0. So they kind of have to steal 3 points back, and you can't lose to a UMass Lowell team that is inferior than you, and they're struggling as well. You got to take points, and this is one of the games where you can't lose points, because it's going to come back to bite you in the second half of the season.
Well, this is a game, if you think you're the team that you think you are, which is, you know, an upper echelon Hockey East team, this is the game you have to win. And you split before, and you got shut out at home, I think.
They
lost 1-0 at home. So this is your chance to, you know, win a game against the team, get 3 points, and establish yourself a little bit. If you think you're the team that you are, then yes, you have to win this game.
And then they play Maine on Sunday, who's been really good. I haven't checked the rankings yet, but I know they're probably in the top 15. Just a really solid team. I think Ben Barr has done an excellent job as the coach. And it's obviously going to be interesting. I'm not sure how electric the environment's going to be, since it's a Sunday afternoon game, but I still think it's going to be a pretty good crowd nonetheless. And I don't know too much about Maine. I know they have a first-round pick in Bradley Nadeau, who was drafted by the Carolina Hurricanes, but they have a really young defensive core, and they have a really good goalie in Victor Ostman, and I think it's going to be a fun game, and I'm hoping that UConn – I think UConn, if there's a game for them to surprise some people, and I feel like the game against Maine to end off the first half of the season, to give themselves some momentum heading into the first half of the season, is the game to do it in, and I think they are – if there's any game that they could upset in – I think this is the one, in my opinion.
Yeah, I agree with you on Maine. They're ranked 11th in the country right now. They were ranked 10th, I think, last week. And certainly that's going to be a very difficult game for UConn, because I think Maine is certainly establishing themselves as one of the better teams in this league. So, but again, if you think you're the team that you are, you have to win these games. You've put yourself in a really tough spot where you're having to win a lot of games where you can't have a lot of bad weekends. So if you don't want to be playing that extra play-in game essentially in March, these are the games you have to take 3 points from.
Now, Chris, since this is the last time you're going to be on the podcast before the second half of the season, just what was your overall thoughts on the first half of the season? Just really disappointing being 8-6, 6-8-1. And I did this research. UConn has the worst pairwise ranking out of all the teams in Hockey East and 35th at the time of this recording. It just sort of puts into perspective how disappointing this year has been for UConn. And I think the frustrating thing is I don't think they're bad. It's not like, oh man, they've really sucked. Like, they've been good. It's just their offense has been super struggling pretty much the entire year, and it's really affected them on the record and pairwise spots.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know if I agree with they've been very good. They've been fair at times. They've been inconsistent as far as I'm concerned. They've had some games and periods where they've played well, and then they've come apart. And I mean, I think if you look back at that Merrimack game at home, where, you know, I think they came out pretty strong, and then towards the end they took bad penalties, made bad decisions. Coach Kavanaugh talked about it, about players being selfish, you know, and not playing for the team, but playing, you know, for themselves or for some other reason. And I think, you know, that's been the story of the first half, is just, it's disappointing. I mean, I think we all thought that they were going to be a lot better this year. We were really expecting them to make a serious run at an NCAA bid. I think at this point you're just looking at it and saying that you hope they don't have to play in that that Wednesday game, that they can stay out of that they might be able to get a home playoff game, and you know, if they can win that, maybe get to Boston. But that's, you know, to me, that's the ceiling right now, and I don't know if they'll be able to do more than that, because it would be a really big challenge in front of them for them to be able to do it. So, yeah, I'm sure they're all disappointed. I'm sure they, you know, what they had for expectations. I think when you interviewed, you know, Hudson Shandor, he said, you know, that they were looking to make an NCAA tournament. So right now that looks like that's not going to happen. I mean, unless they make a run here, in the Hockey East tournament, which again is going to be very difficult. So, I think, you know, at most you got to look at, you know, what potentially they could do. And even that, I think if we look at it, yeah, we're all probably a little bit, you know, as fans, disappointed, about how so far the season has shaped up.
Well, Northeastern was in sort of mud of a similar spot in 2016, and they ended up winning Hockey East and made a national tournament appearance. So I'm hoping for something like that for UConn this year. Like Kevin said, just give me one national tournament appearance. It's all I'm looking for. So, let's transition now and talk about the women's team. Unfortunately, they had a tough loss to Quinnipiac last Friday, 4-2. And it's just tough because right now, the way the women's hockey pairwise looks, it looks like UConn will have to win Hockey East in order to make an NCAA tournament appearance. And unfortunately, I think, not unfortunately, but it's just like, since it's a single elimination tournament, you kind of just have hope nothing bad happens. And in hockey, sometimes a bad bounce doesn't go your way. Sometimes, you know, you face a really hot goalie. Like, anything can happen. It's hard for me to sort of look at a single elimination tournament and be, like, super confident that you can potentially go the way through, even though UConn's played very well. And pretty much that loss against Quinnipiac pretty much confirms that they're going to have to do that. But they did get a good win against Sacred Heart. I guess I really like this team a lot. They've been playing well, and I feel like they deserve better. And it's just frustrating that this loss against Quinnipiac just makes it harder for them to rise up in the pairwise rankings.
Yeah, so it makes it hard. I mean, it's 11 teams that make the tournament.
Yes, right? But with the automatic bids from Nuha and CHA, it's pretty much like the top 9 teams can get in.
Okay. So if you look at that, you know, Connecticut's 12 right now. I mean, that game those two games in January against Minnesota, those could be huge. So, you know, if they're able to obviously win both, that would be great. If they could split, that would be great. So I'm not completely, you know, I think there's still a path for them to get in if they don't win Hockey East, but I think they'd have to go pretty far in the tournament. But obviously those two games in January against Minnesota could be, you know, really important for them in terms of, you know, their positioning to get into the postseason. But yeah, no, it's certainly harder. It's hard when you, you know, one game can sort of determine whether or not you get it in or not. So that, you know, that can be kind of tough. But, I really like this team a lot. I think their goaltending's great. I think they're just a really overall great team. And I'm interested to see, you know, what they do here. And obviously, I think they can make a run. So I'm not as pessimistic as you are maybe about their chances. I certainly understand their chances may be, you know, a little bit more difficult, but you know, you're 12th and you're not that far off. So, and there's a lot more hockey to play. So I'm optimistic about their chances.
I feel like we're the opposite. You're more optimistic about the women's team than me, and I'm more optimistic about the men's team I'm more optimistic about the men's team than you are. I don't know if you've noticed that.
Yeah, for sure. I think that's true, but that's all right. It needs to be competing opinions here on the podcast.
It's good. It'd be boring if it's just the same stuff. But they've had a good first half of the season. They got a good win against Sacred Heart, 3-1, or I think it was 3-2. Yeah, 3-1 against Sacred Heart in the consolation game. So good thing that they got in third place, and they have a chance this weekend to end off their first half of the season on a positive note as they play Merrimack in Boston College. And just looking at the Hockey East standings right now for the women's side, right now UConn is 2 points ahead of BC in the Hockey East standings for first place. So you want to try to build some ground, I guess, against BC, because that's the last time you're going to play them at all this year. So to get a 5-point cushion at the end of the first half in that Hockey East standings, I think is going to be huge. So, and BC is a good team, and they swept them last October, so it'll be good for UConn to get a potential revenge game against BC, but also build up that cushion in the Hockey standings. And then Merrimack, they've played teams tough, so you can't look past them as well. But I'm confident that this UConn team is good enough to get two wins this weekend and have some positive momentum heading into the second half of the season against, like you said, a really good Minnesota team to start off the second half of the year in January.
Yeah, this is a big last weekend for them. Take care of business, and then you roll into you get past the holidays, and then you roll into Minnesota that first weekend in January, and give it your best shot. If
I think they can win one of those games, I'm optimistic about that.
Yeah, I mean, obviously, winning two would be phenomenal, but I think we know that might be a little bit too much to ask. So if you can split. Great, split, and I think that puts you in a really good, good position as you go into your second part of the season. You come out of that with a split, and I think your prospects are good in terms of going into the second half of the season, and then setting yourself up for what potentially, hopefully, is a good playoff run and into a tournament position.
Now let's look around Hockey East, and a lot of non-conference games this weekend, so not a lot of looking around in Hockey East. I guess the one team I did want to talk about, because we watched one of their games this past weekend, Chris, was BU. They got a big win against Quinnipiac the night before Thanksgiving. And just kind of bad look for Rand Pecknell, the way he behaved after the game, not wanting to comment about the officiating and getting kicked out. I like him a lot. I think he's a great coach, but I just think that's a bad look. And I feel like you got to be a little bit more professional behind the bench. So hopefully he doesn't come after me on Twitter, because sometimes he does that. But I like you, Rand, a lot. But I just feel like you got to calm down a little bit on the bench there a little bit. But good win for them, beating a good Quinnipiac team. And then they lost to Cornell at Madison Square Garden on Saturday, which was a really fun game to watch, especially in the third period, even though the broadcast showed a lot of the Jumbotron feed, which was kind of funny seeing all the people going crazy in that stream. You could talk about that, because I know that kind of bothered you, Chris. But I just think I'm interested in this BU team, because I think they're really good, but they're like, I don't know, they've had some interesting games as of recent, and I'm just curious how that affects their pairwise moving forward. I think they're third right now, so I guess not too much, but it's been interesting watching them this year, and I think celebrating looks really good. I guess that's the other thing I wanted to comment on.
Yeah, it's interesting. I'll be interested to see them play in person and compare them with Boston College. My sense was that BU might be a little bit better this year, because I thought they were a little bit more older, and that BC might initially have some issues with a younger team, but I don't know if that's happened. But still, I mean, first of all, that game drove me nuts. It's this big game they have in New York, and you can't get a better production than what they put on, which is really unfortunate. That was that should have been more of a premier game, and would have liked to seen a little bit better production, television production on it, but that's for a different podcast. I think obviously BU will be, you know, I think I projected them to be a Frozen Four team this year. I still don't see any reason why that they wouldn't be. I think their goaltender plays really, really well. I thought he had a really nice game against Cornell, even though they lost. And so, yeah, I think there's a potential that there could be at least two teams from Hockey East in the Frozen Four this year.
I do too. I think I'm kind of skeptical on BC because I feel like something their inexperience might affect them at some point. But I feel like maybe a team like UMass and BU gets in. Like UMass maybe surprised some people because they had a good win against Harvard last weekend as well.
Yeah, I mean, I look at, you know, who knows how Providence is going to do. They're having a really good year right now, and so they could be a very difficult out to get. UMass definitely much improved from last year. I think, you know, my question with BC is, you know, the goaltender, like you said, I haven't seen enough of him, but, you know, over the weekend, he was, you know, a little consistent. He had a bad night, what I'd say is a bad night on Friday, and then came back and had a really, really good night on Saturday. So, you know, you do wonder, you know, is their goaltending play going to be an issue for BC? But, you know, certainly, yeah, I think, you know, BU, BC, Providence, UMass, I mean, New Hampshire, obviously a big surprise. I mean, you know, 13 points tied for third. So, I think there's a really good possibility that, you know, Hockey East could get at least two teams of the Frozen Four this year.
Do you have any comment on Rand Pecknold's actions on Wednesday?
I get it. Coaches get that mad. But I mean, to sort of take it to that extent, at some point you have to just, you know, look, every team's going to live with bad officiating or what they think is bad officiating. It's part of the game sometimes. And so to go to that extent, it's like, you know, I mean, I don't know. I would have expected a little bit more.
Well, who knows if he listens to the UConn Hockey Pod, because he did come after a podcaster one time for something about the CT Ice tournament. So, I'm just a college student, Rand, so please don't go after me. Anyway, thank you everyone for listening to today's episode. Obviously excited for one last weekend of hockey before the holiday break. And when the first half of the season officially comes to a close, I'll try to have Kevin on the podcast to get his thoughts because I know he has a lot to say, and I know you know that as well. But thank you so much, Chris, for joining me on today's episode. I really enjoyed talking with you. And yeah, I guess the title of this episode is Rand, Don't Come After Us.
No, you're welcome, Matt. Hopefully you have a great holiday season coming up here. And hopefully maybe we'll get to do, depending upon how the first half ends, maybe we'll get to do a space with everyone and sort of talk about the team and all vent a little bit and hope that the second half is better.
Yeah, we should definitely do that. We got to coordinate with the basketball schedule because I know we got a lot of basketball folks on the spaces that want to say something but also want to watch those games.
It is tough. It's tough to compete with that basketball schedule.
We'll find a way, though. Don't worry. Thank you, everyone, though, for listening, and have a great day. And I'll see you guys next week. Bye.
Later.